Hi, my name is Celeste Aurora, and I would like to share with you my transformational journey from religious to spiritual. I dedicate this story to all the people who have asked questions and are searching for answers. Know that God is always with you, and never stop asking. The answers will come. There are quite a few people that I would love to thank to help in helping me make my journey. To Danny, God has made sure you were in the beginning to help me through my circumstances and now in this recent journey. You helped pave the road for its beginning. I find that amazing. I so love you and am grateful we found each other again. Mikey, thank you for being that lion in my life, for keeping determination in the air. You are amazing and I love you. Annie, you have truly been my butterfly, my fresh beginning and being such an intricate part of me learning to fly again. I so love you. Jane, thank you for your acceptance and being that person to talk to about the crazy things. I'm so glad you're in my life. To all my girls, thank you for keeping me feeling loved and needed all these years. You are all precious, and I love each and every one of you. Last, but certainly not least, to my sister. Thank you for the hours spent dancing our bhakti dance. Our connection is so amazing because it has brought so much clarity. I love you so much. So let's begin. My soul chose a very strange path indeed. If my human mind would have had anything to do with it, I then would not be writing you this story now. Not this particular one, anyway. I would be writing about how amazing it is waking up to the sounds of waterfalls, the view from the top of my mountain, and how incredible it is raising a family there. However, my name is not Livy Walton, and that is not my story. My story begins in 1970, being born to two amazing people. I know that my mom and dad were amazing through stories I heard and how my heart feels, but not from experiencing them. See, there were many situations in my early childhood that took away the ability to grow up with them. I truly believe that if I had have grown up with my mom and dad, that I would have lived a spiritual life from day one. I also believe that my soul chose this life for me so I could learn, grow, and experience both sides and be able to relate to a very special group of people. I do not believe there is a right or wrong path, only the path your soul chooses, with its only intention to live eternity with God. And so, my journey begins. I was born in St. Petersburg, Florida, but was raised in Jacksonville, Florida. I was around 4 when we moved there. We lived in an apartment complex that rested on the banks of the St. Johns River. It was beautiful. Now, let me explain the word we. I am going to change the name of my keepers to Ahab and Jezebel. One, to protect their memory for those lives that they touched in a positive way. And also, if you know Ahab and Jezebel, it fits them to a T. My male keeper was a small man in stature and even smaller on the inside. He was weak and timid and allowed his life to be dictated by Jezebel, which brings me to her. She was controlling, dominating, and just a plain out bully. We were what I would call holiday churchgoers. You got it. Every holiday around the calendar, we would get dressed in our pretties and show up with our functional family hats on. After a couple years of doing that, we graduated into Wednesday nights. I loved it. I was in a program called GAs, Girls in Action. With going more consistently, I started learning about Jesus. He seemed like a really cool guy. I really liked him. Another thing I loved about our church life being more consistent was that my keepers treated me so good when we were there. I felt safe, happy, loved, and a part of a family. I loved this feeling so much that I talked my keepers into letting me join the children's choir. With the help of my teacher, they said yes. Now we were going on Sundays. I went back on for Sunday night, as well as Wednesdays. This went on for years until we moved when I was 11. Moving? What do you mean moving? I felt like my world was caving in around me. I was going to lose my river, my best friend Danny, and my 2 chances a week to pretend I had an amazing, loving family. And yep, that's exactly what happened. We traded the river for railroad tracks, a close friend for loneliness, and our church for emptiness. I was a slave to my keepers and sworn to secrecy. Jezebel was the ringleader with her demands of high expectations, and Ahab would follow through with the force on her command to let me know loud and clear that I would never be good enough. Now I am 13 years old and my world was rocked again. My grandmother was down visiting and I was told we were going to the beach to collect shells. Oh yes! I got my water back! I was so excited. On the way there, we made a pit stop for Ahab. See, he was an architect and inspected buildings for a living to make sure they were all up to par according to the state. Jezebel went in with him. I thought that was strange, but I didn't care. Me and Grandma waited outside in the car. We were laughing and having a nice time when these 2 men in white coats opened the back door and asked me to come with them. Now, I was really confused. I told them, no thank you, I was going to stay with my grandma. I grabbed onto her arm. She patted my hand and said, why don't you go with them, sweetie? They can help you. What? Help me? What do I need help with? I made good grades in school. I had reached a level of meeting Jezebel's expectations to a point that I was only getting a beating every other week or so. Sometimes I would go for a month, whip-free. I had figured out a way to control the chaos. No, I'm good. No help needed for me. Then Ahab came and stood behind them. He looked at me and said, let's go. So the next 5 minutes or so were filled with high sound levels, 4 very strong hands, lots of tears, and it all ended with me walking, not freely, through a set of double doors. Come to find out, this was a drug rehab facility. At school, we had learned about pills and the dangers of them. Say no to drugs, wear red all week, that kind of thing. Okay, I'm good. So why am I here giving blood, peeing in a cup, and being asked questions that I know nothing about? Then I'm constantly told to stop lying. This was a safe place, and they were here to help me. Help me with what? I still don't get it. Well, I slept that night in a detox room with people on both sides of me banging and screaming things that led me to believe they understood a lot better than I did why they were here. I had learned to pray years before and figured this would be a good time to start doing it again. The next 2 weeks of my life were spent here listening to the staff talking about God, changing the things I could, accepting the things I couldn't, and the wisdom to know the difference. I heard stories from others that actually made my life seem not so bad. I was, oh boy, not liked very well by the other patients because they knew that I could not relate. The help that I needed was not offered here. Roughly 13 days later, the results of my blood tests, urine tests, doctors, and staff had convinced my keepers that I didn't belong here. So Ahab came and picked me up. I think for one of the first times in my life, I was actually happy to be going home. I guess prayer really does work. As I was looking out the window, I started to realize, this is not the way home. What is going on? We pulled into Baptist Hospital. Who was sick, I wondered. Ahab and I got into the elevator. When we got to our floor and the doors opened, lo and behold, there was Jezebel. "You have got to be kidding me. What's going on now?" After an hour session with a counselor and a few signatures later, I was now a resident of Baptist Hospital Psychiatric Ward. Here we go again. I became very quiet. I did not speak for the first week and just followed commands. I did everything I was supposed to do, made my bed, cleaned my dishes, sat in groups, and listened to tons of stories from my neighbors of things they had done and their experiences that landed them here in our communal prison. I was raging inside. Okay, I thought, I will deserve to be here just like everyone else. No more being an outcast for me. So I let the rage come out and be heard. I ripped the curtains off the windows, started knocking over chairs, and this was just the beginning. I don't remember all the details, but it ended up with me in solitary confinement for 72 hours on suicide watch. My new home was a cold room in white with a mattress on the floor in the corner and nothing but my thoughts and emotions to keep me company. I just didn't understand. I kept all the commands my keepers placed on me, tried to speak the words they wanted to hear, and kept all the secrets of what went on inside the walls we called our home and they forbid me to ever speak of. In that 72 hours, I had processed that at least the cuts and bruises had healed over the past 3 weeks, and I didn't like all the anger I was feeling. In the midst of my confusion and longing to know what my future held for me, I had this strange feeling of safety and compassion in the midst of these strangers that I now lived with. They listened to me and truly seemed to care. I had had more conversations with God in this short period of time than I had had in a while. I felt as if He was with me and I was beginning a new journey. And I was so ready.